Wisconsin election officials are in a dispute with Republican lawmakers over a practice known as ballot curing. The process makes it possible to correct mistakes on absentee ballot envelopes, things like missing address information on witness signatures. GOP lawmakers say under state law, only the voter is allowed to fix those errors. But the Wisconsin Election Commission has given guidance as far back as 2016, allowing local election clerks to fix some of these mistakes. We're taking a closer look at how ballot curing works in Wisconsin and how changes could affect upcoming elections where absentee voting is already underway. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Should local clerks be able to correct some mistakes on mail-in ballots or fill in missing info, a zip code if they know it, for example, for an address that wasn't quite complete? Or is that something that only the voter should be able to do? Have you encountered these problems yourself as a voter or working on an election staff? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Rob Yablon is an associate professor of law at UW-Madison and co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
I gave the basics of ballot curing. I think there, Rob, could you flesh it out for us a little bit? What do we mean by that?
Yeah, that was a good introduction. I mean, when we're talking about ballot curing, we're talking about correcting errors or omissions on absentee ballots to make sure that they're legally compliant and can be counted. So, you know, voters who have voted absentee before will know that there's a certification form on the outside of the absentee ballot envelope that they complete and return with their ballot. They have to sign and date it, and they have to have a witness sign and date it, and the witness also has to put on their address. And if that form is not adequately completed, their ballot isn't valid. Now, there are some omissions that only a voter or the witness can correct. And so if the voter fails to sign it, if a witness fails to sign it, that's not something that a clerk can fix. If the clerk notices in advance, the clerk can hopefully send that ballot back to the voter and let the voter correct it. If the voter's in the area, the clerk might be able to call them and tell them that they're going to have to come in and add that signature. The controversy that we're seeing right now is what happens if there is an incomplete witness address on that certification form. 6 years ago, back in 2016, the Elections Commission issued guidance to clerks saying that they should make reasonable efforts to obtain missing address information. And if they're able to find it, they are allowed to fill in that missing information themselves. And that would make the ballot valid. And, you know, so that was guidance that in 2016 was issued by the commission unanimously on a bipartisan basis, but it's become much more controversial today.
Yeah, let's spell this out a little more. Say we've got a voter, Rob Roberts, and they fill in their name, Rob Roberts, their street address, but not the city and zip code. And they sign it, of course. So with this definition of ballot curing, under those 2016 rules from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the person at the clerk's office could look up that street address, say, oh yeah, that's a city in our town, Townville, and then we only have one zip code here. I can write that in. That is, on a very practical level, how this could function.
Exactly. You know, so one thing that someone might do is they just write in their street address, but they don't write in the name of the municipality, and the clerk might know, oh yeah, that is indeed a street in our town. They might even check to see, and in fact, I see that the witness is a registered voter at that address, and with a reasonable amount of confidence, they can say, okay, we know that it is in our town, and they write in the town name. You know, they're not trying to hide this. The instruction is that they're supposed to initial next to it, so there's a record. The clerks, when they make these corrections, you know, often will do so in red ink. But the idea is that voters shouldn't have their ballots not counted just because of that really minor technical omission, and that it would actually, it's just not necessary to trouble the voter, you know, having to send the ballot back with the mail. You know, would you even have time to do that? And so the clerks have been fixing these very minor types of errors.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Lafarge. Jack, hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I agree with the professor on this because, again, we're looking for valid voters, okay? If the person is a valid voter, and it seems like you're saying that there's errors of omission and the clerk can fix that, it's not like, oh, we're making up of a voter or, you know, there's an illegal voter. Rather, is that, you know, we want all the people who are, you know, able to vote, who are legal, to vote. And if there's just this minor error, why does that make that person illegal or their vote not count?
Jack, thanks for the call. And Rob, that takes us to Republicans in the state legislature saying this is a problem. What is the argument we're seeing from Republicans in the state legislature? A committee has said, actually, no, Wisconsin Elections Commission, you should not give this guidance.
Right. You know, so this became a sore point after the 2020 election. As I said, this guidance dates back to 2016. It was operative during the 2016 presidential election, elections in 2018, 2020, a lot of elections in between. But in that 2020 election, as part of broader concerns that were raised by President Trump and his allies about fairness in the electoral process, there was, concern that these kinds of errors in the absentee balloting process may be indicators of some irregularity. And so there's just been a desire to tighten the rules, even when we're dealing with some of these minor technicalities.
We are talking to Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, talk about this idea of ballot curing. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, as you heard, since 2016, has said, hey, election clerks around the state, you can cure these errors in like witness signatures if they leave off the zip code, for example. Republicans in the state legislature saying, no, that goes beyond state law. You shouldn't give this guidance. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, maybe your experiences. That's 800-642-1234. So, Rob, where are we now? We've got an election. People can start sending in absentee ballots. The Republican state lawmakers who are looking at this say, you can't do this. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, if I understand correctly, says, yeah, we can. What should voters know?
Yeah, you know, this is a little bit of a confusing situation, definitely not ideal. So, what happened is the legislature asked the Elections Commission to issue a more formal rule, administrative rule, that basically repeated their guidance. The Elections Commission did that earlier this year. And then just last week, a committee of the legislature invalidated that proposed rule. But what the Elections Commission is saying is that the invalidation of that rule doesn't affect the underlying guidance, which has been in effect for 6 years now. And so they say that is still the operative guidance. And I expect that a lot of clerks are going to continue to follow this guidance, although they're probably talking to their lawyers at the municipal level, trying to figure out exactly what they should do. Because as you say, absentee voting is already happening for the August primary.
Let's bring on another caller now. Jack is with us in Caledonia. Jack, hi.
How you guys doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Jack?
Well, I'm sitting outside. I'm waiting for a van to show up for collect ballots for early voting, and I'm a election observer. Now, the thing I just want everybody to understand, everybody that's listening, WEAC, Wisconsin Election Commission, okay, is not a governing body. They don't have the legal means to change law, okay? Our legislatures do that, okay? So just because they say, you can jump on your one foot and sign your name this way and it's legal and don't worry about putting your address on there, it all these changes that they want to do, it doesn't go with what Wisconsin state election laws are, okay? Even if somebody says it's okay to do that, it's not okay to do it. It's a down ballot. Only the voter can come and change something on there. Well, I forgot my zip code. Well, you have to go back and take care of it because that's the law. Change the law, and then it's okay. But right now, we have to follow election laws, and people are finding every way not to, okay?
Jack, thanks. I got you. Thanks a lot for the call. Rob, Jack saying Wisconsin Election Commission can implement the laws that exist. They can't change them. And he says they're changing the law if they allow someone other than the voter to fix that witness address.
Well, that's the question. So he is correct that the job of the Elections Commission is to implement the law. And sometimes the law isn't clear. And when the law is unclear and you have, 1,800 municipal clerks that need to make judgments, it's helpful for the Elections Commission to be able to step in and offer some uniform guidance. Now, what the legislature is arguing is that it is, in fact, clear to them that that clerks don't have this power under existing law. And so they're arguing that the commission's guidance isn't proper. And the commission's response, and I think a lot of the clerks who are trying to implement the elections might say, well, really, the law to us isn't clear, and it's helpful for us to get guidance which is meant to implement existing law rather than change it. But that's really the dispute here. Is that what the Elections Commission is doing? Are they just implementing existing law, which is totally proper, or are they changing the law, which is not proper?
Jack, thanks for that call. We're talking to Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison, Co-Director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, looking at ballot curing, how it works, why Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin want to end one version of ballot curing, saying election offices can't add that missing, for example, witness address information onto the ballot envelope. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you voted absentee by mail? Early in person in past elections. Do you know what to do if your ballot has an error? Have you ever had a problem with incomplete information? Do you work on the other side of things as an election clerk yourself? What do you know? What do you wish you knew? Are there still gray areas? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about Wisconsin's election rules, focusing on the practice of ballot curing. When there's an error on the election, say witness address information on an absentee ballot isn't complete, does the voter have to be the one to add that, or the witness themselves? Or if they can find it easily, can an elections clerk fill that out? Rob Yablon is with us from UW-Madison's State Democracy Research Initiative. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions, your experiences as a voter or an election clerk. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Rob, as we mentioned, there's an election going on right now, absentee voting. What is it a local election clerk supposed to do? I want to give a listen to Claire Woodall-Vogue, director of the Milwaukee Elections Commission. She told WPR last week they've had to stop processing certain ballots until they talk to the city attorney.
What do we do with the ballots that we have already cured? And then what do we do now that we have a new rule, possibly, or a new procedure this close to the election, and when mailing a ballot back to a voter might risk us receiving it in time to be counted?
What is a clerk to do, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, she is encapsulating very well the dilemma that clerks are facing right now. And you know, as she indicated, you know, they're going to be getting legal advice and they'll have to make some decisions. Because that Wisconsin Elections Commission guidance has not been removed, I suspect that many clerks will make the judgment that they can continue to do what they've been doing in past years and complete that missing information. But it's not clear that all clerks will do that. I suspect that we will see some controversy during and after the election on this. And it's an unfortunate position to be in. You usually want to get the law clarified in advance of voting, but we are at a time now when voting is happening and we don't know exactly how this is going to turn out.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Well, I believe there's a really common sense solution to this. The corrections on the outside of the envelope are really immaterial. What counts is the integrity of the ballot inside. So, fine, you know, correct errors and compare it to the voting roll and inform the people involved of what their address actually is. But beyond this, it seems to me that the Republicans are questioning everything about our elections except for their own victories. And I think people better look at some of their gerrymandered districts and their own vote packing and fundraising and everything else. They're really destroying a system that has worked for, you know, a good long time here.
Tom, thanks for the call. Tom, I think Rob sees this vote curing thing as one element in wider efforts to raise questions about our elections.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of folks probably view what's happening here as part of a larger effort by those in power to tilt the electoral playing field in their favor. One account that you can have of what's going on is that the Republicans in the legislature have made a judgment that there are likely to be more Democrats than Republicans that are voting absentee. And so if they can tighten those rules in a way that makes it harder for those absentee ballots to count, that will be a net gain for Republicans. Now, you know, empirically, we'll see whether that's true or not. Unfortunately, you know, they are probably going to have some of their own supporters who have their votes thrown out based on very minor technicalities. You know, I think what the caller was getting at in part is if you can discern that this was in fact the intent of the voter, if you have no reason to think that there was fraud or some other irregularity going on, you really ought to want that vote to be counted. And unfortunately, you know, some of the wrangling that we see now might mean that more of these votes get thrown out.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Rob Yablon is with us from the law school at UW-Madison, looking at vote curing, a dispute between Republican leaders in the legislature and Wisconsin's Election Commission over guidance that says election clerks can complete some missing address information, especially on those witness signatures on absentee ballots. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. For that person voting absentee, Rob, I guess the easy way to get around all this is make sure all your information is there. Do you see enough public awareness, voter education out there to make sure that people do this so it doesn't become an issue in the first place?
You know, of course, there could always be more. I hope that the word is getting out there. I know that there are a lot of municipal clerks that that do a lot, you know, and really try to educate voters on this. And, you know, I think it is just important to say, be careful, take the time when you're filling out those certificates and your absentee ballot to make sure that you really are dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, just following the instructions carefully. You know, there are ways that you can track your absentee ballot if you go to myvote.wi.gov to make sure that it has been processed correctly. And to the extent that people really have concerns about the absentee ballot process and they're able to do so, you know, one thing to note is that starting today, we are now in an early in-person voting period. And so you are able to vote in person, not just on election day, but, you know, depending on where you are at in the state, a number of the days between now and August 9th.
And when you do that, I guess there's a clerk there or the elections office will look at your ballot and you can find out right away if you're missing key information.
Right. You know, they will be right there with you. And in fact, I believe that, you know, in fact, that the clerk then becomes the witness for you.
Hopefully they'll know how to do that properly. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Now, you mentioned with some confusion over this, Rob, I mean, there's a concern that, as we saw with the 2020 presidential election, if those rules don't get resolved now, somebody might come back after we know the results and challenge them.
Right. You know, again, it is best to get all of this worked out before votes are cast, because then, you know, you're operating behind a curtain. You don't know who's going to win the race. You don't know how close it's going to be. But, you know, if we ended up with some very close races in these primaries, you may have challenges where there are disputes about whether particular absentee votes should be counted or not. You know, for example, the law is not crystal clear about how much of a witness address is required. The position that the Elections Commission has taken is that you need the street address, you need the municipality, but if you didn't write in WI, if you didn't write in the zip code, that's not necessary. Well, it's conceivable that someone could challenge that and say, actually, the failure even to include the zip code ought to invalidate the ballot. And it's just a shame that a lot of this, as I've said, remains unresolved while votes are being cast.
Time for one more caller. Alice is with us in New London. Alice, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Alice?
I don't understand what the problem is with absentee ballots. If you vote in person, there are two people at a desk. You give them your name. They look it up to see if you are a registered voter, and they mark that you came in and voted. If somebody voted a second time or instead of you, that would be known because they couldn't mark it twice. It would be impossible. Why don't they do that with absentee ballots? I don't know why they can't. I mean, it'd be the same thing as if they came in person. It'd take the same amount of time. All they have to do is have those books in front of them.
Alice, thanks for the call. And Rob, I believe the same procedure to double check to make sure that absentee ballot isn't somehow allowing somebody to vote twice. That does happen. The debate here is over this, again, that witness signature on the outside of the ballot and whether or not an incomplete address means that voter doesn't even get their vote counted once.
That's right. So, you know, to be clear, there are safeguards and protocols in place to make sure, for example, that someone isn't receiving or returning multiple absentee ballots, that someone isn't returning an absentee ballot and then also trying to cast a vote in person. I mean, you know, there are logbooks and so on that prevent that from happening. So, yes, the issue here is just what if there is one of these minor technical omissions on the ballot certificate? Should the ballot still count? Should the clerk be able to correct that error, or is that a ballot that should just be tossed aside uncounted?
Alice, thanks for that call. And just our last few moments, Rob, is this going to be as big a deal this year? 2020, a lot of people wanted to vote absentee because of COVID. I think people are less worried now. Do you anticipate this being such a huge part of our election this year?
Well, you know, I suspect that the absentee voting rate won't be quite as high as it was in 2020, but I anticipate that there still will be probably hundreds of thousands of votes that are cast absentee. And whether that becomes an issue in the aftermath of the election may just depend on how close the election ends up being, both the August 9th primary and then the election in November. And hopefully we will have, you know, more of these questions answered by the time we get to November's general election.
Rob, thanks again for joining us.
Good to be with you.
That's Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison, co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, with us today to explain what ballot curing is and the debate over its use in Wisconsin elections.